House Committee on Business and Labor to order, and I'm going to open a, we can just go right in order.
We can, yes.
I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 193A.
Mr. Chair, Committee Members, Senate Bill 193A allows the Department of Consumer and Business Services to specify by rule which boilers and pressure vessels will be subject to local jurisdiction inspection upon the installation, alteration, or repair, and to exempt or partially exempt boilers from regulation. The measure deletes specific language in statute regarding boiler inspections and authorizes the Board of Boiler Rulers to adopt rules for inspections, including required frequency. And the bill declares an emergency effective on July 1st, 2007. And you have in front of you in your bill packet a dash A3 amendment that resolves conflicts with House Bill 2219, which we heard earlier this session. And the bill passed unanimously out of the Senate Business Committee and the whole Senate.
All right, thank you. I have Mark Long and Jack Monroe, please. Whenever you're ready, gentlemen, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mark Long. I'm the Administrator of State Building Codes, and Senate Bill 193 is our bill that we brought forward to the legislature. This is an efficiency bill for us to make improvements in our boiler program, and I think, as staff has indicated, it makes several changes. It clarifies the role of insurance inspections and state inspections, allows local government to pick up some of the inspections for us of the simple types of boilers. It allows us to set the inspection frequency, which is consistent with what we did last session. You may recall House Bill 2180 that allowed us to set inspection frequencies for elevators. This allows us to do it for boilers so that as things change, we can adjust when we inspect. And it allows us to exempt boiler equipment when necessary, because sometimes a one-size-fits-all approach doesn't work, and as technology changes, we need to have the ability to partially exempt something either from an annual inspection or a installation inspection, or even at sometimes the licensure pieces. So this bill did move out of the committee unanimously and was carried by Senator Metzger on the Senate. And the conflict amendments you should have, which resolved everything, and we're comfortable with it. And I urge you to pass this out.
You have a brief, Mark. Thank you. You have a brief. Just what was conflicting, and what are we unconflicting?
Mr. Chair, it conflicted with House Bill 2219, which was our licensing streamlining bill, mm-hmm. and it's in that area of changing statutes in 48630 in the boiler program. And it has to do with when we renew licenses and when we don't renew licenses. And the conflicts made no the changes that LC put forth made no substantive changes to this bill or 2219 that you moved out previously.
So are we adding on to application fees, or are they the same?
They're absolutely the same, Mr. Chair.
Question I need an answer. Thank you. Mr. Monroe, please.
Hi, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Jack Monroe, speaking today on behalf of the American Insurance Association. And the insurance and insuring of boilers is a relatively esoteric insurance-related activity, but a significant one. And we initially had some questions about one of the sections on the other side, but I am pleased to say that Mr. Long and two of his very able assistants, Tamara Brickman and Jim Deno, worked with us, and we resolved all of those issues, and significant issues, because in fact the majority of the boiler inspections are done by insurance industry special inspectors. But so I can certainly commend to you passage of 193A engrossed.
Thank you. Representative Esquivel, did you have a question?
Yes, actually I do. I'm reading the exemptions under 480.525 on these vessels, but it said here in the staff briefing that some newer residential hot water heaters are technically boilers, but should be inspected as part of a local building code inspection on a new home. Please explain to me what the scenario is, because I'm trying to picture a 55-gallon or a 80-gallon, even an 80-gallon residential hot water heater, how that could be construed as a boiler.
Mr. Chair, Representative Esquivel, one of the reasons for this bill is that exact problem. Right now, you have a device as a boiler when it gets over 199,000 BTU. And so you have installed in homes these days tankless water heaters, these InstaHots. You may be familiar with those. It's very popular in some of the larger homes. Those are technically a boiler, if you can believe that, because their BTU rating, the rating of the gas that goes in, puts them over a statutory set criteria, which we didn't have these years ago when the statute was created. And those are required to be inspected by state boiler inspectors. We think it's more appropriate for our local government partners to inspect that hot water heater that's actually classified as a boiler because they're already there looking at the rest of the plumbing system. So that's what this bill allows us to do.
We carry the bill
on
that.
Yeah, that's right. Any more questions to these nice gentlemen? Okay, thank you guys. Anyone else like to testify on Senate Bill 193A today? All right, then, if not, I'm going to close public hearing on Senate Bill 193A. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 193A, and I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
I move Senate Bill 193A and grow. No, do you have amendments?
Yeah.
I move the
three
amendments to Senate Bill 193A.
Representative Berger moves -3 amendments to Senate Bill 193A. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? All right, seeing none, so moved. Representative Berger, please. Thank you.
Oh, now, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 193 as engrossed with these amendments to the House floor with a due pass.
Representative Berger moves Senate Bill 193 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? All right, Kristen, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Would anyone like to volunteer to carry it? Representative Espel, thank you very much. We'll carry this bill. Close work session on Senate Bill 193A. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 543A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 543A removes the current statutory requirement that homeowners and condominium unit owner associations deposit all assessments in a federally insured bank account that's located in Oregon and expands the statute to include any bank location within the United States.
Thank
it
you.
Passed unanimously out of the business and the committee and the Senate.
Thank you, Teresa. I'd like to call Kelly Ross and Alan Crandall. And then on deck after those two will be Dave Schwinn and Rich Thompson. But I'll take you two first and then the next two. Whenever you're ready.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Kelly Ross, and I'm here on behalf of the Community Associations Institute, the Oregon-Washington Community Association Managers, and Community Association Bank. All three of these entities strongly support Senate Bill 543. We believe it clarifies a statutory limitation on homeowners associations and condo owners associations that's no longer necessary. But this limitation dates back nearly 30 years when the Oregon Condominium Act was first adopted in 1977. As we're all aware, during those three decades, the finance and banking industry has changed drastically, and we believe that this change is warranted now to give homeowners associations and condo owners associations the freedom to choose where to place their funds to get the highest interest rates and the best service while still providing assurance to those members of those associations that it will be in a federally insured account. Kind of parenthetically to this, this is kind of an interesting situation. It's the only place in Oregon law that I'm aware of that limits where a private entity can place their funds. Community Association Bank, which is the requester of this bill, is a national bank that specializes in servicing homeowners associations. And the founder of that bank, interestingly enough, is an Oregon boy, graduated from Oregon State University, Craig Huntington. He testified over on the Senate side that he was that Oregon is the only place in the country now where he can't do business, and he would like to come back to the state of his alma mater and do business. So as the committee administrator described, the bill passed without a single negative vote in the Senate committee or in the full Senate, and we would recommend your passing it to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Alan Crandall. I'm the Senior Vice President, Western Regional Manager for CUNY Association Bank. We come asking you to approve this amendment, this change. Our specialty is community associations. We have about 23,000 clients across the country from Hawaii to Maine to Florida. And this is really what we see about it, offering choice to board members so that they can get the highest rates of return for their reserve funds, which is critical for many communities. Most communities across the country are the home of choice for many middle-class people. They do have reserve requirements, saving money for their roofs and major repairs going forward. So the rate of return that they do get on their funds is an important issue for them. It does help them offset future increases in their normal monthly assessments, which is a form of taxation within the community. And so we ask that you pass this to allow the members of Oregon Homeowner Association community to invest their money where they can get the best rate of return while still keeping it federally protected.
Thank you, Mr. Crandall. Any questions for Mr. Crandall? Either one of these gentlemen? Thank you. David Schwinn and Rick Thompson. By the way, I don't know if Representative Schaaf or Chair Schaaf said anything about it, but please turn off all your telephones and your cell phones because they do come through and feedback through the microphone.
Go ahead. Yes, Mr. Vice Chairman. I'm Rich Thompson. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon-Washington Community Association Managers. Our members manage somewhere around 700 to 800 Oregon homeowner associations, and of the approximate 2,000 that there are. We feel very strongly that giving the clients, our consumers, the options to deal with specialized banking institutions like Community Association Bank, and there are others outside of Oregon, would be to their benefit. So as we spoke to the Senate committee a month or so back, we think this bill is a reasonable way to go and would encourage the committee to move it toward a vote.
Committee members, I'm Dave Schwenk, and I'm a CPA, and I do business with over 300 homeowner associations in the Pacific Northwest. As part of that service, we provide audited and reviewed financial statements for homeowner associations, and I support this bill. I think it's a good idea to give homeowner associations options in which to invest their funds. And I also particularly like this bill because it also requires homeowner associations to put their funds in federally insured accounts right now. We're required as CPAs to footnote any funds that exceed the 100,000 federally insured in a bank account. This gives that footnote a little bit more teeth. And I'm asked by my homeowner association boards of directors, well, what happens if we don't have our funds insured? Now I can say it's a matter of state statute to have these funds in federally insured accounts, and I think that's a great idea.
Thank you. Any questions of these gentlemen? All right, thank you very much. Would anyone, I'm going to ask, would anyone else like to testify to Senate Bill 543A? Did you have a question, Mr. Johnson? If no one wants to testify, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 543A, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 543A, Representative Esquivel.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 543A to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Esquivel moves Senate Bill 543A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? All right, Kristen, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Would anyone like to carry this fine piece of legislation on the House floor?
Mr. Chair, could this not be on the consent calendar?
Is there any opposition to this being on the consent calendar?
No. It's simple.
If anyone opposes, they got to carry it on the floor.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Is there any opposition? Do we need a motion for that?
No.
Okay.
I need a motion.
Well, and I think everyone concurs.
It appears unanimous.
So be it. I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 543A, and I'm going to open a Public hearing on Senate Bill 762A.
Mr. Chair, committee members, Senate Bill 762A removes the current statutory cap of $1,500 for medical-only temporary disability compensation on workers' compensation claims. It requires the director of the Department of Consumer Business Services to annually adjust the maximum amount of compensation to reflect changes in the Consumer Price Index. The measure does have the support of the Management Labor Advisory Committee and passed unanimously out of the Senate Commerce Committee and unanimously out of the Senate.
Thank you. Well, we have John Schultz and Greg Miller here to come help us through this bill. Sure.
You know,
Greg, if you're ready, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know how to get to me, Mr. Chair.
That's because I love you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Greg Miller. I'm here on behalf of the Associated General Contractors Oregon Columbia Chapter. We represent 1,100 member firms and approximately 54,000 workers in this state and then in Southwest Washington. I'll give you a brief, just a little background of why I'm here in front of you today. In the 2005 session, the legislature passed House Bill 3318, and that increased the limits that Ms. Van Winkle just mentioned for non-disabling workers' comp claims from $500 to $1,500. In the latter days of the session, the bill was in the Senate Rules Committee, and it was a suggestion at that point that this number be tied to an index so that we wouldn't have to be before you every two sessions, three sessions, asking for legislation to increase that number again. So that's simply what the bill does. It ties the $1,500 to an index, and again, is for just minor injuries. It's the kind of slip, trip, and fall stuff that you see on job sites that don't require time loss or any other continued, you know, severe medical care type stuff. So be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm John Schultz. I'm the administrator of the Workers' Compensation Division, which is part of the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today about Senate Bill 762A. Greg's testimony really touched on the bill in most respects. I don't have a lot to add to that. I would underscore that this does just allow employers to reduce the costs of their workers' compensation by reimbursing their insurer for minor medical-only and medical bill claims. This bill, as Greg pointed out, is really the third bill that has come before the legislature, which sets a limit. The original limit was set at $500, I believe, in the early 1990s for non-disabling claims. And as Greg said, in 2005, HB 3318 increased that threshold up to $1,500 because medical inflation had increased quite a bit since then. And the recommendation was made to go ahead and put an index into the statute then. Greg is right. The Management Labor Advisory Committee looked at this bill and approved it. The director would evaluate the change in the index and then adjust the threshold amount, rounding to the nearest $100. We would publish that amount by bulletin with the updated threshold amount published prior to January 1st of each year, so that insurers would have sufficient time to update their computer systems in regard to any update in the threshold amount. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions I can about this bill.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In ADC's written testimony, it states that the index is the United States City Average Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers' medical care. Is that all urban consumers' medical care? That's the name of the index or that it's tied to?
Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, I'd have to defer to the Workers' Comp Division on that. It was their amendment.
Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, the title is the United States City Average Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers for medical care.
Okay.
And the month that we would actually select on that index would be the July month in order to publish a bulletin so that the insurers would be able to reprogram their computers starting on January 1st. So it would actually be an annual change in that if the index went up that much. And as Greg indicated, this is something that if you're rounding off to the nearest 100, you're probably looking at every 2 or 3 years there would be a change, depending on the how much inflation there is in medical costs across the nation.
Paul?
Yes, sir.
So, and I asked that question just to clarify that this is a medical care index. It's not just the CPI.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions, these gentlemen? All right. Well, thank you very much. Would anyone else like to testify on Senate Bill 762A today? I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 62A, and I'm going to digress just a little bit to point out that the public contracting rewrite bill passed today with, I think, with no questions on the floor. Mm-hmm. And our experience with a great, excellent carrying of Representative Escal, that's in the last two sessions, those were painful. That was a painful bill. This session, knock on wood, it will continue to go its merry way. I just had to throw that out there. So I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 762A. Representative Escobar.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 762A to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Escobar moves Senate Bill 762A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? All right, Kristen, please.
Representative
Edwards.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. Would anyone like to carry this bill on the floor? Representative Edwards, thank you very much. We close the work session on Senate Bill 762A. And for the record, folks, we don't have a lot of bills right now, so we're going to take Friday off. But Wednesday, we're going to have Senate Bill 982, and I think there's going to be a lot of discussion about that telecom bill. So be prepared to have a lengthy hearing. It may or may not. Depends on what all comes to be. So
depends on the amendments.
And, anything else for the good of the order? All right. We're adjourned.